Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yeah, we're so glad that you guys are here. Thanks for hopping online with us. We're beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead and get comfy. Invite your crew, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We repping Dallas over here, but we want y'all to represent too.
Now we've got a great service plan for you guys, so let's get into it.
Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Jacoby Morrison, and I'm here to bring the worship in this morning and worship with you all. And as you can see, there's nobody else here with me, so I'm going to need y'all's help, okay? I need y'all to join in with me. Before we get started, I want to give honor to where honor is due. I want to thank Brother Henry for bringing me here today and inviting me here, and his beautiful wife, Angel, and just this whole staff. Can you give it up for your staff? They do some amazing work here with you guys. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Come on, give it up to them. They are amazing. Thank you all so much. And also to this awesome band, give a hand for the band. They've been helping me this morning. So we're just going to worship together. If y'all feel free, come on to the front and worship. We're going to have some fun. Also, we want to thank our online visitors for visiting with us this morning. Come on, give a hand clap for our visitors online. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned. We got some great things coming. All right. Anybody ready to worship? Y'all ready to worship? Make some noise if you're ready to worship. Come on. God is so big. He's so strong. He's so mighty. I'm not going to sing anything you might not know, okay? So I want you to join in. Feel free. This is a free space for us to bless God and give him all the praise because he's worthy. Isn't that right? Come on. Put your hands together. Yeah. Everybody put your hands together. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have a good time this morning, okay? Y'all loosen up in a minute, all right? Said, my God is big, I hear you, so strong, so mighty. And my God plans for me, goes beyond my wildest dreams. Said, my God is good, he's so good to me. Come on, y'all, sing it. My God is big. I hear y'all. Come on. So strong. Let him hear you today. Sing it out. So mighty. And my God plans for me, goes beyond my wildest dreams. Yeah, 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 yeah. So good to me. Yeah, 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 yeah. You can move around if you want to. Yeah, 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 yeah. So good to me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hold on here. I see some of y'all smiling. You kind of got that half smile. But I don't. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're here today. Come on, really mean it though. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Now look at somebody else and tell them, you look real good today. I like that shirt you have on. I like those pants. Come on, let's loosen up. We're here to have fun, all right? This is youth, right? We don't have to be so sophisticated. You can move around a bit. Now come on, let's rock like a choir, everybody. Come on, come on. Yeah, you got rhythm. There you go. Now help me sing it right here. Said, my God. Thank you. to be that concerned. Come on. God came down a little out of city. Yeah. There's nothing my God can. There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I said there's nothing he can do. There's nothing my God cannot do. Yeah. There's nothing my God cannot. Everybody clap your hands right there. If you don't know it, he's a real big God, all right? He can handle my problems and yours. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. He's big, all right? Come on. Clap your hands right there. Yeah. We're going to sing it one more time, then we got to move, all right? Everybody say it real loud. Let him hear you in the street. There's nothing my God cannot do. A little louder, say there's nothing my God can do. There you go. Come on, everybody say there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing my God cannot do. And he's a real big God, say there's nothing my God cannot do. There you go. Come on, sing it. I wish I was here at 8 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing my God cannot do. Come on. Clap your hands if you know that's true. That's it, man. That's what we came here for. To give God all the praise. We're not worried about what clothes we have on. We're not worried about who's texting us right now. It doesn't matter. Not worried about how much we pay for what we had on. God deserves all the glory, all right? He's great, he's mighty. And that's why I'm here today, to encourage you all to keep serving God, keep trusting in him. There's no problem too big for him. Whatever you're going through, he's bigger. Anybody believe that? Come on, put your hands together one more time. Some of them know him as Jehovah Jireh. Somebody knows him as Jesus. I call him Hosanna. He's all that I need. Anybody know him as Hosanna? You know that? Amen. Come on, we're going to the next song. We're going to move, y'all. I'm not going to stand in y'all way too long because I got a great word in store. We have a great word in store. I can't wait to hear it, all right? Simple song. It's a little jazzy, a little nice. It's all right to get jazzy for Jesus. It's okay. I want y'all to join in and sing with that too, okay? It's an easy song, all right? Come on. Y'all can see I'll snap your fingers a little bit. We're going to have a little fun with this one. All you're doing is repeat after me, by the way. I love you. You are the joy of my heart. You are the strength of my life. Oh, Hosanna. You're holy. Bear. Oh yeah, yeah. Clap your hands this morning. We were rocking earlier, we can still rock now. Okay, nothing's changed. We're just having a good time, that's all we're doing. Oh yeah. Brought you through some things that you know you couldn't have got yourself out of. That's what we're here to worship him. We're here to give him glory. We're here to give him honor. And right now I want to create this space. Like I said, you're welcome here at the altar if you want to stay in your seats, but begin to worship God in your own way. A lot of times during the week we don't have time to give God because we're doing this or we're doing that, but this is his time. So with everything that you have, worship your Father. If that's lifting your hands, if that's just speaking of his goodness, if you want to say a prayer, whatever that means to you. But I want to give you this time to worship God for yourself. Do you know him for yourself? Do you know who he is in your life? Is he God? Is he the love of your soul? Is he your strong tower? Is he your strength? Is he all that you need? If he's not those things, just keep living. You're going to get there, I promise you. But he's everything to me. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to come and worship with you guys and to tell you of how good my God is. I don't know about you, but he's been really good to me. So good. So many prices are breaking sky high, groceries are sky high, so many shootings are going on around us, but God is keeping us. Amen. He's protecting us. That right there deserves some praise. We're still here. We want to give God that glory. He's a way maker. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
If you believe that, can you sing it with me? Come on.
We make miracle.
Let him hear you today, that's right.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh yes, he is. He's a way maker, miracle word, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on, let's put that in the atmosphere. Keep singing.
So we make miracle word, promise keep. Oh yes, he is my God, that is who you are. One more time, say, we make miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We make miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who. Turning lives around, we worship you, we worship you.
I dare you to lift your hands right there and help me sing it. Come on.
Say, we make miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is.
I got some witnesses, I need some more. Those who are not ashamed of the gospel, come on.
We make miracle, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God.
Yeah. Come on, a couple more times.
Oh, we make.
And as you're singing, think about who's been keeping you, who's been protecting you, who's been providing for you, for your mother, for your father, whoever it is. That's who he is. He's a great God. Come on, say it.
Say, we make miracle work, promise keep, light in the, my God, that is who you are.
Right there, if you have a chance, the person who you're next to, I want you to tell them one thing that God has done for you this week. And if they look at you and don't like what you're saying, then turn to the other person. One thing that God has done for you this week that you know you couldn't do for yourself. I'll tell you one thing that he did for me. He put some more money in my account. I got paid this past week. All right. He let me see another day this morning. I'm able to go to the store and get clothes that I want, shoes that I want. If I'm not able to, I'm able to ask my mother, some of y'all. You're able to ask your parents. They'll go get it for you, right? Thank God that you have parents like that. Everybody does it. Come on, just think of one thing that he's done for you. And when you get done, let's go back to singing it, okay? And think of that one thing right here.
There's a way make, miracle. That's it, promise, keep, light in the, my God.
When you're feeling down, you can sing this. On your way to school, you can sing this, all right?
Say, we make miracle, oh Lord, promise keep, light, my God, that is who you are. One more time, say, we make miracle. worship band adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
I hear some of you. Come on, sing it.
I love.
Do you love? Come on, let's sing it.
I worship band. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Yeah, come on, let him hear you today.
I love.
Yeah, y'all sing it real
good. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Come on, real big right there. Come on.
And adore your name. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. Love you more. Yes, yeah, I love you. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. More than anything, said I love you, Lord. I worship and adore your name. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more.
Now right there, if you really love him, go ahead and give him glory right there. Come on, speak well of him. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how kind he is. Come on. Just for a couple of more minutes. Tell him thank you, Lord, for this day. Don't clap anymore. Tell him thank you, Lord, for this day. If you want to, you can lift your hands, however you want to worship. Thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here together to learn more about you. Come on. A few more seconds. Let's just speak well of him. God, thank you. You're so good. You're so kind. Thank you for loving me even when I didn't love myself. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for hiding me. Thank you for giving me a church to come to where I can praise you freely. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Brand new mercies we see every morning. Come on, just worship. I see some people looking around. Don't look. Just worship the Father. Just a couple of more seconds. As the mercies are coming. Thank you, Lord.
What's up, y'all? How about them young adults? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So my name is Henry. I'm going to introduce our amazing panelists. We're going to pray and then we're going to get started, okay? So we can start. Let's start with you.
Hi, y'all. I'm Jacob. There we go.
And y'all can clap for him. That's Jacob right there.
Do I get like an introduction?
Oh, you can just tell them your name.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Jacob.
Praise God.
I'm Mackenzie.
Y'all clap for it. There we go. There y'all go.
Hi, I'm Veronique, but you can call me V.
How you doing? My name is Jeremy.
Amen, amen. So, Father, God, we love you and we honor you. Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life for a ransom for many. So, God, as we talk about serving and being happy to serve and responsibility, we have a conversation. Lord, would you please bless our time? We love you and honor you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, y'all, we finna have a conversation about our next-gen theme. So we're going to let our panelists answer the question. Now, crowd, if y'all want to chime in, you want to share your thoughts, feel free when they get finished. Okay, so this is my first question for everybody. As a young person, what motivates you to serve?
Me personally, it's not a motivation thing. It's a discipline thing. It's more like, you know, because a lot of times when it comes to serving, I don't want to. like the my flesh will pull me away, but I know that it's for the benefit of the kingdom and for the benefit of me, because it is a blessing to serve. So I just do it because I guess it's the right thing to do. It's more of a discipline thing, not a motivation thing.
For me, I want to serve, or I see needs in like places where I guess I am, if that makes sense. So like I want to serve because like it's something that's usually near or dear to my heart. So yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, one, I would say I don't even know if I consider myself young as a young person because I'm 32, but okay. Well, thank y'all. I would say I think it's two part. One, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. My grandfather was a pastor, and my dad always cleaned the church like once a month every Saturday. So I saw him like cleaning toilets, mopping floors, vacuuming at an early age. So I feel like service was modeled for me at an early age. But I would also say the second part would be, I think that I'm motivated or inspired to serve through my love for Christ, because he really has been the way, the truth, and the life in my life. And I think there's been times where the enemy tries to deceive me into thinking that, you know, chasing a bag is the way, or notoriety, or accumulating wealth, or whatever may have you. Those things are good, but they're not him. So I think that like just falling more in love with him has inspired me to serve.
I would say for me, it's similar to Veronique, but the first one is I've been saved to serve. I believe that God has saved me to do things, not only for the church, but also for the community that the church is in and for others as well. And being that he's the example that we have, him humbling himself, Jesus Christ humbling himself as a man to come to earth and to not only to be served, but to serve. And so when I see that, it's I have a duty to make sure that I imitate Christ in that manner. I would say the second one is I saw my parents serve in church, and they still serve in church. And so having that model for me was very beneficial, and I've just started following their footsteps as well. And now I've taken on my own to make sure I serve well. And I would say the third thing is. I would say when I first came to Oak Cliff 13 years ago in 2011, we came from a small church and it was huge to me. And so one of the ways that I actually got involved was actually being right there in the back area with the youth media. And some of the individuals that I met, I still have friendships with today. And so having that community came about through serving. And so I know the church is pretty big. I know you may not know people, but I think if you serve and you get involved and open yourself up, you will begin to actually discover that the church that is big can become small with serving with like-minded individuals.
That's so good, Jeremy. That's so real. I appreciate you saying that. One thing that you were saying where you were making me think about, too, is I think the joy of serving, like when you think about the scripture that says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it's like when you think about the crucifixion, that's not joyful, but for the joy set before him, he endured that. And so I think there's a joy that comes with being alongside your brother or sister in Christ and being in the trenches, whether that's serving the under, not sheltered, the homeless, or that's serving the youth, whatever that looks like. There's a joy, there's a certain connection, there's a different level of intimacy in the relationship that you form when you serve with people. And it's also just joyful to be able to meet a need that someone else has. Like, you start to get a sense of gratitude, like, God, like, who am I that you would even allow me to be in this position to serve? So there's just like a genuine joy, I think, that comes from serving others too.
Praise God. So listening to y'all answers, it's a combination of discipline, right, of seeing the need and wanting to meet the need, but also examples of parents, of family members. But most importantly, you see what Jesus has done for us. So because what he did for us and how he served, we could follow his example, and we're saved to serve, right? Y'all, praise God. Y'all pray for my brother Jeremy. He a Steelers fan. But praise God. Praise God that he saved to serve. My bad. My bad, y'all. My bad. You right. I'm tripping. Okay. So this next question I want to set up like this. So You know, we got our youth, we got our young adults, you know, but life is busy, right? Y'all got school, end of the year, all these projects and assignments, but then, you know, you work, we got relationships. Like, there's so many things that we have to do, right? Bills.
That part, adulting.
Adulting, quizzes, organizations. How do y'all find a balance with everything that you have going on? How do you still be responsible to serve, even though you have so many things to do in your personal lives?
Personally, I would say it's a matter of prioritization. You know, you have to know what you need to do first. Or it could be a matter of want as well. You know, this one little quote that one of my instructors had, it's like, if you want to do it, you'll like find whatever reason to do it. And if you don't want to do it, you'll find whatever excuse not to do it. So it's a matter of want and need, because you got to want to do it in order to do it. And if you need to do it, you like put it up in your list of prioritizations and make sure that gets done first. Mm. And then you get whatever else you need to.
Mm. That's a good answer, bro.
I agree what he said about like prioritizing and like, you know, having things you need to do on top and then like, you know, the things you want to do maybe lower. But I think it's also like important to kind of see serving. Serving is, you know, one of your responsibilities as a Christian. And so, like, when you make it as, like, oh, it's, like, I'll serve if I serve, but, like, no, you have to serve. And not, like, you know, somebody's making you, but, I mean, you should want to have to serve as a Christian. So I think it's, like, you do your responsibilities first, and then you can serve, you know, do what you can. Because sometimes you'll be able to serve more, sometimes you won't be able to serve as much, but it's just serve when you can.
All right, so I would say from a very practical sense, I live by my calendar. I have a statement that I always say, if it's not in my calendar, it doesn't exist. And so I think that's what, actually with everything, right? So I even like some of my friends or a mentor of mine, like we haven't been able to meet up, but I just like put something on the calendar, and if it doesn't happen, then at least we recalendar or reschedule it. So I think in a very practical sense, like using your calendar, whatever that looks like for you, for me, that has been a saving grace. I think in a different sense, in terms of the same stream of line, like priorities, I feel like serving the Lord has to be first. That has to be the center, because everything else will fall into line after you do that. And then I can look back at times in my life where that priority was out of whack and the blessing and the overflow of my life didn't align because I didn't prioritize him first. Like a practical example, I think, is like studying, like just praying that God would give you wisdom to be productive before you study. Praying that God would be in that space allows your time when you're studying to be productive, to be honoring to him. So I think centering him before you even go about doing everything else and just bringing Christ to bear on whatever you're doing, I feel like goes a long way in terms of being able to manage it all.
And I would say for me, I know there's a thing, some of the guys may know, some of the hoopers, but it's a thing called ball is life. For me, church is life, Christ is life. So because he's life, one of the ways that I, come on now. One of the ways I try to manage my life is prioritizing things basically around serving at church. So, you know, I've been blessed with the flexibility to, you know, rearrange my schedule when need be. So because of that, if I have something to do at church, then that will become the priority, and then everything else will shift around it. But also making sure that I set reminders for myself, because I know I can forget. I'm not really like a guy that usually writes stuff down, and that's like, I try to keep it up here, and it doesn't work out. So please write it down if you can, and that way you can also be responsible with what God has called you to do and what you need to do as well in your day-to-day life.
I really like that. So
can I add something?
Oh, you got it, bro.
Yeah, so a thing with serving, it's like with busyness, it's like with how I was talking about with want, I'm trying to word this. But you also have to look for opportunities to serve. You can't just like wait for opportunities, because if you wait, there will be opportunities, but you will find a lot more if you look for them. And as servants of Christ, we should always have that passive thought of, how can I serve somebody today? How can I serve God today? So,
Okay. Y'all know fair spin.
Yeah, I think also I would say, like, if you, that's good, because the busyness thing is real. And I think, especially for people in here who work in ministry full time, I think we can get so caught up. I don't work in ministry full time, but I think you can get so caught up in doing the things for Christ that sometimes that takes you away from being with Christ. So I feel like when you're also prioritizing serving, a part of that service is your intimacy with Him. And so just making sure that you, like, protect the sacred things and keep the main thing, because you don't want to be serving out of posture of just trying to be busy or trying to do all these things. Like, your heart posture should be oriented in Christ first. So that, I think that's also important.
So basically, y'all are saying prioritize Christ first, serving Him, being served by Him, then being of service to others, but making sure you're taking care of your responsibilities to keep your witness intact, right? And be organized as well.
Okay.
So question number three, where do you see yourself working in the future? How can you use your job skills to benefit the church? So in the future, where could you see yourself working, or where do you want to work? And then how can you use that to benefit the church? And also, y'all, do anybody, y'all want to speak to any of these questions? Anybody at all? Can we get Miranda right here? Miranda, you want to say something for real? And my sister right here too.
Michaela Grace.
Oh, Michaela. I'm sorry, my sister.
Michaela Grace.
Oh, I ain't mean no harm. I'm sorry. My bad.
So, I want to do, I want to be an apologetic.
Amen.
Yeah, apologetics.
Wait, speak. Can you speak into the mic?
I want to be apologetics to help out with the proof that there is a God, because a lot of people, you know, the Big Bang Theory, which there's really no proof. It's just more, one person said something and now it's all believing, but like there's like thousands millions of evidence that there is a God. So.
Thank you, my sister. And my bad, too, y'all. I didn't miss y'all saying some of the first two questions. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, y'all. We got Jacob and my sister right here. Thank you, Mr. Kelvin. Happy to serve.
One day, I hope to aspire to be like a general manager for a professional sports team one day. So with that, I also want to, you know, show Christ and do Christ-like things so that when I am successful, that nobody can go around and tell, and, like, you know, they can say anything, like, I was rude to people, and, like, I always want to be, you know, centered with the Lord so that nobody has a problem, and that I can show how I can impact others through Christ.
That's good, my brother.
Okay, so I just wanted to add on to the other question, how they were saying when you prioritize Christ and everything else falls into place. We acknowledge already that, like, serving is something that Christ has called us to do. So He's going to make room for us to do what He's called us to do. Like, we don't have to worry about finding a space and time to do it. If He called you to do it, then He's obviously going to have that time for you to do it. And when you're prioritizing Him, He's going to make sure that you are aware of everything that He's calling you do and the spaces and the people that He's put you around.
Amen. Amen. We got you, my sister. Then we can hear from our panel. You got something, my sister, right here? Okay. Here she go. She right here. Raise your hand. There you go.
So when I get older, I want to be a lobbyist, and their whole job is to talk and for people to listen. So I feel like I could use that to help serve.
Praise God. We need some Christian lobbyists.
Absolutely.
All right, panel. What y'all want to do, and how could you use that for the church?
Back to us?
Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I don't know what specifically, like, career-wise I'm going to be doing in the future, but I definitely see myself and want to do something with evangelism, like with telling others the gospel and stuff. So that's yeah.
I want to be a business analyst when I'm grown, but I also want to be a hairstylist.
Oh.
I want to be a hairstylist part-time, And so, like, now I braid and stuff. Okay. And so, like, you know, when I'm braiding, then, like, you know, you talk to the person who you're braiding. And, like, I think that's, like, a really good opportunity to, like, minister to people, you know, talk to people about Christ. So.
Well, do you have any, like, hair prices, like, braiding prices?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want your hair braided, y'all find out after service.
Get her now before she blow up.
That's right.
Yeah, well, y'all reminded me of is this quote that says, preach the gospel, use words when necessary. So, like, basically, your life should be the gospel played out. And if you're doing those things, then people will know Christ through your actions. I mean, in terms of career, I was an educator for about 10 years. I taught in DISD, and then I was assistant principal. And a year, yeah, you know.
Praise God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I taught kindergarten, third grade, and then I was an assistant principal for 4 years and stop six. So, yeah, I think I've serving in Title I schools, which is schools that are predominantly underfunded and have a certain socioeconomic status, has been a lot of sacrifice, and it just led to a lot of burnout. But I also think on the back end of that, I learned about like adult learning, and I fell in love with adult learning. And so now I'm a consultant at UT Arlington. And I love it. I love the people I work with. I love the professors I get to work with. In between that, I actually got a master's in theological studies from Harvard. And so a lot of people, a lot of people don't know that. I don't really talk about it because I'm kind of awkward when it comes to that. But I think it's a weird space because I feel like I love to learn and I loved being in a higher education. But it's such a hard place to be a believer and a follower of Christ. There's such a level of intellectualism in that side of the country that is feels very persecution-like. And so a big part of me knows that I'm called to be a professor and be in the higher ed space, but I have been taking my time. And so I think the question around how could I serve the body of Christ more specifically, I think integrating those gifts of what I have studied and what I'm passionate about, like specifically when it comes to like women in the Bible, like I'm obsessed with Zipporah and her entire existence. And like, there's just like so much that I feel like we could explore. There's like a lot of young Black women who I think just would love to learn about those stories. And I feel like there's a space for me to do that maybe in the church. And so I think maybe infusing or intermingling those things is a big piece. And I think definitely I could do more in terms of like mentorship and stuff. So there's just so much to explore. I think it's all about just listening to God, being obedient, and like processing it through his timing.
I would say for me, I like I said, I've been blessed and fortunate to have a business for 5 years now. And so,
okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you, this side. They didn't clap.
They hate on you? Are they hating on you?
Yeah.
Don't hate on your brother in Christ.
Man.
Don't hate on your brother in Christ.
In all seriousness, I've been blessed. And so I would say in the next, or I guess the future, the short-term goal is to just to continuously increase the business revenue, the portfolio of properties that I service, and just to continuously, you know, acquire different assets for the business, you know, lower liabilities, things of that nature. If you don't know about business, these are business terms. So I would say if you are trying to get into business, look these terms up. You'll kind of understand what I'm saying right now. And then I would say long term, I want to actually fund fund different projects that I am passionate about. And then also being that I believe this business is a calling to help others and spread the gospel, I want to help other entrepreneurs with the startup cost and the startup phase. Because I was blessed. Thank you. I was blessed with individuals who came around me and surrounded me to get the LLC, the EIN number, the tax ID, the business bank account. Individuals that go here at the church, many resources. My CPA and bookkeeper is actually a member. He serves in the kids ministry. So. And that's one reason why you should also serve, because you never know who you're going to meet.
Right.
So so having that, and like I said, that would be like my long-term goal. How I would use this, the business or the skills that I've acquired from the business, it's kind of weird because the business came from serving. So 6 years ago, 2018, I was in a small group with a brother named Irwin Thompson, and he would actually pick up the trash and the ground, clean the grounds for the church and up and down Camp Wisdom between Hampton and Polk. And so he would do that every Saturday, and I wound up asking him if I could join him. The first time I did it with him, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. It was one, I considered it was embarrassing because I'm picking up trash. Like, who's going to look at me? Who's going to think something of me? And then it was just a lot of work, a lot of walking. And so I was like, this is not for me. But for whatever reason, kept going. A year later, he wound up leaving and transitioning to me. And I never forget, I heard a testimony that Pastor Evans would give of how he will walk up and down Camp Wisdom praying about the vision that God had blessed him with and how he could bring it to fruition. And so I was like, well, if he can do it for Pastor and Doc, well, I'm sure he can do it for me. We serve the same God, so I'm like, hopefully I can get something through. And for 11 months, from January 2019 to November 2019, that's what I did, up every Saturday morning, diligently seeking the Lord, being obedient to what he has called me to do. And in December 2019 is when I got my first contract. And my dad was always, used to always tell me, all you need is one. And I was like, no, I need more than one. Like, one ain't gonna get the, and one ain't gonna do nothing for me. But the craziest thing is, it was one contract that comprised of 23 locations. And so all I needed was one. And 5 years later, I've been blessed to now service 53 locations. And but I also make sure that I come back here every Saturday morning to make sure I serve. And for free, the church don't pay me at all. Like, I want to make sure that they don't pay me. So this is like my reminder of saying, like, if you be diligent, like the scripture says, like, if you be diligent with the small, he will bless you when you are trustworthy enough to be blessed with more.
That's good. That's good. So y'all, so we want to encourage y'all, you know, if you're a hairstylist, if you're in ministry vocationally, whether you play sports, whether you're in school, whatever you do, use it for the glory of God. Because it's not about our kingdom at the end of the day. It don't matter how many followers we have on social media, what people think about us, if they think we cool, if they think we smart. 5 years from now, y'all probably not going to be talking anyway. Everything that you have, use, yes, be a light. Yeah, let your actions speak for themselves. Point people to Jesus, but use your words. Don't allow your words and your character to say two different things. Amen. You're saying you're a believer, but then you're not really walking it out. You know what I'm saying? So as we're talking about serving, just encourage you. You're a teenager, young adult. Hey, everything that you have, use it to point people to Jesus, okay? Amen. So we're going to switch gears just a little bit. Still talking about responsibility. But do you think you are responsible with money? And I'll explain. Oh, y'all want to say something? Let's hear from the panel first, then we're going to come to y'all. What you got? Y'all responsible with money?
Oh, are we going
to the same? No. Immediately, honestly, no. It's not that I'm bad with money, it's just that I make sure I never have it, because I always want something. I always want to buy something, whether it's a book, a game, something in a game or something. And I have an allowance, so if it's something that I can't immediately buy, I'll save however like much I need to. But once I get it, I immediately spend it. So I'd say no.
Thank you for your honesty, my brother. Thank you for your honesty.
Let's be real. I appreciate that.
That's right. Be real now. Be real.
Not entirely, but I've been trying to be better at it. I also get an allowance, but I want to get a job this summer. And I think, like, I used to be, like, kind of an impulsive buyer. Like, I see something, and if I have the money, I'd be like, bam, like, I'm buying it. But I've been better, like, lately at, like, waiting and saying, like, my rule right now is, like, if I'm not, like, completely obsessed with it, then I don't want to buy it, because then, like, you just end up with a bunch of stuff that you don't even like for real, and it's like, dang, like, this is where my money went, you know what I mean? But, yeah. Yeah. And also, I will notice that, like, sometimes, like, I'll be like, oh, like, I'll give my offering later, or, like, whenever I give that first 10%, like, Jesus is the first thing I spend my money on. I notice that, like, my finances, I mean, I don't, my finances look a lot better, like, for the rest of whatever period, whenever I'm, like, giving my money to this first.
That's responsible. Praise God.
I would say that, like, good with money, I think about it like stewardship. So that's, like, so subjective. Like, am I good with money? I think I don't, sometimes I'd be like, I don't think I'm smart, but some people might think I am, you know? So I think comparatively, it just depends on your perspective. But I know, it's crazy. But I would say I definitely feel like I'm growing in my stewardship capacity, but I would say, like, I am a good steward. I think was some of the, like, just, I guess, practical things are definitely tithing consistently, always. It's so important to tithe. I feel like, you know, one of the biggest sermons that I always remember of Pastor Evans will be, I don't know if y'all remember this over here, when he had the wooden cross and he had the apple and he was biting out the apple and, like, put it on the cross and just showing that, like, if you decide to continue to invest in other things before you share your treasure, whatever that is, but mostly, like, your tithe with God, then that's basically, like, you denying and not appreciating his sacrifice on the cross. And so I think that stewardship is really important. And there's so many resources here at OCBF to help us be better stewards. Like, we have Financial Peace University offered at super discounted rates. Like, and the education that we get in terms of your finances here is really top tier. And even from, like, Jonathan, I think, gave a Bible study one time about what accounts you should actually be putting your savings into and how to get the most in your investments. And so I think that because of OCBF, honestly, I would say I've become a much better steward. And I think that it has been such a blessing to be a steward, because I get to see, like, for one of the things that I feel like I invest in is a friend of mine. They're a couple and they have a ministry in Boston. And being able to witness how they are serving college students because of that support, because of that giving, it's a huge blessing. The relationship I have with them is a huge blessing. And so I say all that to say, I think stewardship, not just being good with money, but being a good steward, that's all your treasures. That's your money, but that's also your talents. And being a good steward of those things is really important. So I definitely think I'm growing, but yeah.
I would say for me, I think I'm pretty good with it. I would say before, when I was, you know, younger, you know, I would get the money and, you know, we would blow it. But now, I think having a business has actually helped me understand, you know, money is a tool to be used to, you know, further things. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus gave about the talents, as Ms. Veronique said, about how he gave one talent, two talents, and five talents, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the two and the five, those individuals, you know, they doubled their portion. The one with the one who wasn't a good steward, he didn't do anything with it. And when Jesus came back, when the guy came back to see what they did with their accounts, he took the individual who did nothing with it and gave it to the one that had five. And so being a good steward for sure is very important. Because you want to make sure that what God has given you, you maximize it for his glory, your good, and others' benefit. And so, and I think it's crazy because Doc also preached about, he always preaches about God as our source. Everything else is a resource. So, you know, the money that you receive is not just for you to just splurge on yourself, you know, and just be hasty, make hasty decisions and, you know, gratify your own desires. But it's actually to make sure that you expand the kingdom and help others. Because when you do give, you know, you will receive, as the scripture says. So just be mindful when you do have, you know, source of income. Don't go out there and just splurge and get into debt and all the other stuff. Like, it, trust me, I've heard somebody say before, one, delay gratification. You know, we have trends. Don't try to follow them, because you'll be out here trying to follow trends forever and ever. And then the other one is, this may go over your head a little bit, but don't mortgage your future with the desires that you have and the decisions you make right now. So, because a lot of people make decisions now and they pay for it later on in life. So be mindful of the decisions that you make now with money, but with anything in your life. Because my parents will always say, the choice is yours, the consequence is his. And the severity of that consequence, he also determines. So be very mindful with the resources that God has blessed you with and use it wisely, I would say.
No. Ladies, did y'all still want to say something to this question right here? Y'all give a round of applause to Mr. Kelvin. Mr. Kelvin Scott.
Okay, so personally, little me, if I had saved back then, I'd be very wealthy right now. I'm not going to lie, though. But now, I'm in between of saving money and also not, because sometimes if I see something I really, really want, I will literally buy it immediately, especially food. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm very big foodie. So I'm very much in between saving money.
Praise God.
I'm going to say no. I have $6 to my name right now. I'm a very impulsive spender. I see something, I want it immediately. But my mom, she's trying to help me, because they're building a Dutch Bros near my school, and I was like, oh, I want to work there so I can have money to spend. And she was like, no, you're investing and you're saving. She's taking the money. I was kind of sad about it, I'm going to be real.
Amen. But let's hear from them real quick. And hey, y'all, this next question, fire right here. Oh, we good? We good to ask it? I'm good to ask it? Or is we gonna hear from somebody back there? What's up, my brother?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I think I'm pretty good with saving, because, like, I had this rule, like, if you can't buy it twice, then you shouldn't buy it at all. Yeah, that's just my strategy for saving. Y'all need a strategy. But yeah.
Thank you, Mike. He said if you can't buy it twice, don't buy it, right? Well, praise the Lord.
Henry, can I add one thing?
What you got, Mr. Kev?
So I have to be good. I don't have a choice because, you know, I got to take care of a household. But with my kids, I had to sit down with two of my kids, and we looked at their budget. Most of the money they were spending was on food. No, not regular food. Just the fact they wanted to go out to eat. They would go to the grocery store, put stuff at the house, and still go out to eat. I don't know.
Okay. DoorDash, Uber Eats, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I would also say, I've heard Jonathan say this before as well. He said his dad used to always tell him, Pastor Evans would always tell him, that if you give, save, and spend, you'll never be broke. And I think that's very true. And I would also like to add just one more thing in there. If you give, save, and invest, and then spend, I think you really won't be broke. So yeah, that's just like some little gem that you guys can just think about and prayerfully use as you go through life.
Very good. Yeah.
And I think if you have the opportunity to take financial peace here, even while you're young, it's never too early. You're never too young to take that class and to learn more about how to steward your finances. Like, it's never too long, like never too early or never too soon. I think if you have that chance, definitely take advantage of that.
Amen. Hey, y'all, I'm gonna ask this next question. If we could keep talking about finances, Lord willing, after service. Okay. What do you think is a responsible age for dating and why? I'm gonna ask it again. What do you think is a responsible age for dating and why?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So let's hear from our panel, and then we'll bring it to the audience. Y'all, let me ask this again, Jacob. I'm gonna ask it one more time. What do you think is a responsible age for dating, and why?
I feel like a hypocrite saying this because I've already been in a relationship, but I'd say either the end of high school or after high school, because with high school comes a lot of responsibilities, especially if you're in some sport, team, or whatever. So I'd say either when you're reaching the end of high school or after, when you get a bunch more like freedom, because by then you're an adult. So
after high school? Oh, praise God. That's what Jacob said, y'all. What you got, my sister?
I think it depends a lot on like the people. I agree. I also feel like a hypocrite, but I agree, like after high school would probably be like ideal. just because, like, when y'all, I mean, y'all got parents, we all have parents, or you have parents and stuff, you have to live under their rules and stuff. And so it's like, oh, like, I want to go out with my boo. And it's like, where do you think you're going? Like, you know what I mean? And so it's just like stuff like that. Like, you know, people don't got money. It's just like, it's just difficult sometimes. But what was I about to say? Oh, yes. I think that, like, it depends on, like, where you are spiritually. Because I think a lot of times people will be like, ooh, like, I want a relationship. Or, you know, like, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend. But then it's like, you get that person. And then, like, you know, you base everything kind of on them. It's like, oh, like, I want to go hang out with my boyfriend. Not, oh, I want to go read my Bible or, like, stuff like that. So, like, I think it's important. I think it's important to make sure that, like, you're right with God before you get in a relationship with somebody. Because, like, if you're not, then, like, it'll end up, like, pulling you farther away from God than you intended. And then, like, it'll also make the relationship really tumultuous.
Okay.
Like, turbulent. It'll make it turbulent if y'all are, like, struggling because, like, y'all don't have that one common thing, like, rooted in God.
Praise the Lord.
Great answer.
Young adults, what y'all think? What's a responsible age for to be dating?
This is a very interesting question. This is all high school, correct? It's all high school? Okay. I would say the responsible age to date is, I would give a range of 22 through 25. not at all. The reason I say that is because what in high school are you doing that you can't do as a friend? Because if you're trying to get, hold on.
Well.
Because if you're trying to get into some, I mean, this is all high school, right? Yeah, I know y'all go to school, so.
Yes. Preaching.
I know you want to probably get into some sexual situations, which you shouldn't be getting into in the first place, because that's not your wife or your husband.
That part.
So what exactly can you do? What are you doing that you can't do in a friendship? If you, because, I mean, even with 22 to 25, like if, and then also, what is the goal? Like, is are you dating to marry? Like, are you, like, what are you trying to get into? Because you got to understand, like, we are God's children, right? So for God's children, that means you're God's son, and you're God's daughter. So that means for the fellas, you got to treat her like she's God's daughter. For the ladies, you got to treat him like he's God's son.
Amen.
So, because God don't play about his children. So you got to be very careful. And then also, like the young lady said, like, you got to make sure you're spiritually mature before you start dating. Because, you know, like she said, like, are you in your word? Are you in devotion with the Lord yourself? Are you seeking him daily? Or are you just trying to get something or try to, you know, drop some game on her, like some spiritual type game on her to make it seem like you're real spiritual when you know you're not. Your heart is far from it. So I would say, are you spiritually mature? Are you practicing purity? Are you responsible in your singleness? You know, are you actually responsible with your work? You know, can you handle two things at once, or will you stray once you get in a relationship? Will other things start to wane? So I would say those are some of the things I would think will make or be mindful of, you know, if you want to be a responsible individual when you start dating. This dude right here is like, not at all. He's like, no. Don't get out here and make some hasty decisions and, you know, regret. Not you personally, but just in general, like, get out here and regret some decisions. Cause like I said, like, you know, the choice is yours, but the consequence is his. So just be mindful.
I also want to say that, like, I feel like a lot of times, like, with high school relationships, people go into it like, oh, like, I'm going to be, like, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to be, like, holy and this and that. And, like, as you progress in the relationship, then people will be like, oh, well, like, we've been together for this long, like, that's basically my husband, like, you know, or that's basically my wife, like, you know what I mean? Like, we've been together for so long, like, you know, it's okay, we can do a little something, we can do a little this, that. But I will say, here's probably the best example I have. I have this friend, and she's from Italy, and she moved here, like, in middle school, and she and her boyfriend have been together for, like, 3 years. So, like, you know, they've been together for a hot minute, like, we'll always be like, oh, y'all are locked in. But recently, we found out that he is, like, a rodent. He's, like, vermin. And so, like, long story short, she flew him out to Italy this summer. Yeah, she spent money she didn't even have on him.
High school?
Yes, because she goes to Italy. That's what I'm saying. Like, she spent money she didn't even have. Like, you know, taking him to Italy, like, taking her to his home country. You know, they hang out, they do this, they do that. She found out that he was cheating on her because she flew this man out to Italy. He still cheated.
What?
I don't, come on now, y'all. He had to get a passport for that trip, y'all. Vile. Vile.
That's wild.
But like, so she, you know, she flew him out to Italy. And so like, he's been like acting crazy. Like when they're arguing, he'll like cuss at her, like being rude. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no. He's vermin, like scum of the earth. And but like they had sex though, and so like, I mean, like before all this happened, like they, you know, like they've done it and stuff, and so like I think that that contributed a lot because she's tried to break up with him like 2 or 3 times now, and every time she like relapses, and so like I just think that that like whenever you're like, cause when you have sex with somebody, you create like a soul tie, and so I think she's like, you know, she's tied to him. And it really stinks to be tied to a rat. And so, like, I think that, like, a lot of times, like, because we're young, we think we know stuff, or be like, you know, we'll be like, oh, like, I know I'm young, but, like, I've been with him this amount of months, this amount of years, so, like, you know, I know this and that and that. But at the end of the day, like, we're really babies for real. Like, we really don't know nothing. And, like, you know, you can be with somebody for so long, and they can switch up on you like that. And, like, so I say all that to say, like, a lot of times we think we know after, like, you've been, like, you get comfortable, you feel safe after, like, a certain amount of time, but, like, make sure you're still walking in that purity, because if you're not, then, like, a lot of times it'll get you in, like, this, like, way, in any, some sort of way, shape, or form, like, it'll get you, and so,
Can I speak into this? Oh, praise God. So, I know y'all was laughing at the situation, but it's really sad, you know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe y'all can relate, like, I've had situations, I've been on the receiving end and the giving end. Like, that's why we want to encourage you guys to be responsible with dating. Like, you in high school, you probably want, like she said, y'all want, you know, got a boo or whatever. But, hey, you in high school, focus on Jesus. Focus on the word. Focus on your grades, if you're playing sports, organization. Because you can make some mistakes in relationships in high school that could follow you to you. Really the rest of your life. So just being responsible with your relationships. Like you said, if you're a child of God, walking in that, not allowing anybody to treat you just any kind of way because you want attention, because you want to be accepted. No, find your identity in Jesus. Find your hope in Jesus. And as you seek in him, as we talk about serving, as you're faithful with a little bit, hey, when that time comes, he will provide the right person who's going to treat you right, who's going to point you to him and all that good stuff.
Pursue your purpose. Amen. Everything you said. I think in high school, like it looks like high school is all there is, but I promise it is not. There is life after high school. You will not peak in high school. And the dudes that you thinking are all that and a bag of chips ain't going to be in 10 years. I promise you. And so do not sacrifice your purity, your holiness, your purpose for somebody that's really not worth it. I'm sorry. And I think that pursuing your purpose alongside of people who are purpose-minded, because you're in high school, but you're single. And when you're single, you have an opportunity to pursue purpose in a way that you just, it's different when you're married. I have a lot of married friends and their capacity, their time, it's just different. And the way that they have to orient themselves. I can get up and go to, you know, Israel right now in a way that somebody who's married doesn't have that same type of freedom. So pursue purpose. And I would say community. A lot of times people link up with somebody because they're lonely. They link up and they lower their standards because they're lonely. But if you are pursuing intentional community and you're pursuing friendships and intimacy with your friends, then that desire to, you know, I guess, eat the candy bar, right, instead of eating like a nutritionist meal, I think will be delayed. So I think about your behavior, your purpose, and how to find real, authentic, intimate community.
Can we hear it? Now, okay, next gen youth. We gonna hand the mic out. Be careful. Amen.
But you guys, what you guys said was very, very true. My friend McKenzie said, like, I think one of the most dangerous type of people is one with no purpose, because then you just walk around aimlessly, and you just, your mind is just blank. And I think with right now, especially as you can see, hookup culture is like, it's just so bad. Like, so when your friends are like,
you don't have a girlfriend. Or I'm like, dude, like, I have so much stuff that I want to, you know, accomplish in the beat. But you know what? You can't do all that God has told you to do if you have distractions in your way. Like, I think especially with getting a girlfriend or for girls finding a husband, you have to just wait in his time, because there's a reason why you don't get married at like 16, 17. Like, you can't provide for a family at that age. Like, be a kid. Like, just enjoy yourself. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do out there. Go to the park. Like, there's so much that you can do now that you don't want to go grow up quicker than you have to. Like, that people need to get out of that frame of mind, because even when you're in your 20s, you're still young. So keep that innocence or whatever as long as possible, because the Lord, he doesn't find pleasure into punishing people. But like, we can see, like, it really does. You hooking up at such a young age with multiple people like that, really, you can see it, like, it hurts people. And maybe some people here have felt that, or their families. And like, it's not, we laugh and joke, but it's not like funny, because like, it really does hurt. Like, imagine, like, you know, your families get destroyed because of stuff like that. So you know what? Be young. Keep the youth. There's no need to squander it all.
I'm gonna say something real quick. A lot of you guys are dating, are in relationships, but to the ones that are not, that's okay. Like, if you are focused on what you got to do, if you're not interested, if you focus on the Lord, like they said, like, it's okay to be content. Don't just jump into stuff and try and get with somebody and try and be in relationships just to keep up with what people are doing around you. It's okay to be single. It's okay if you're not interested in that. And specifically to the young ladies, if you feel like you know, all the boys are overlooking you and you don't ever get any attention, understand that that's God's protection. That's God protecting you from sexual temptation. That's God protecting you from maybe an unplanned pregnancy. That's God protecting you from unnecessary heartbreak. So don't just jump into stuff because you're trying to do what other people are doing. It's okay to be content, and I encourage you, use this time to develop your discipline. Use this time to develop your self-control. Use this time to say, okay, Lord, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? What should I be focusing my time and energy on? So just be encouraged. Like, if you're not interested in dating, if you're not in relationships, that's fine. And don't do stuff because of pressure or because of what's going on around you.
I'd also like to add something to what she said. A lot of times it's better to be single, because relationships are something you would have to prepare for mentally and emotionally. And a lot of times, like, people, I went through this, will like find themselves like feeling lonely and have like a void in their heart that only God can fill, only Jesus can fill, and will put themselves in a cycle of like in and out of relationships, hurting themselves each time they get into one because they feel lonely. They're like, oh, only they can heal me, when it's only God that can heal me.
Amen.
And going back to how they were saying relationships aren't worth it, I don't know if y'all saw what happened at Bowie High School, the shooting. Apparently, they fought over a girl. And the reason this happened was because she was unloyal, you know. She was a bop, you know. She was going around sleeping with a bunch of people. And apparently, one dude caught him with his girl, and he didn't know that. So he went up there, he shot him 7 times, he died right there. He died over a girl that wasn't gonna be his wife. So going back to what she said, it has to be worth it, it has to be purpose. If it's not going to be your wife, there's no reason.
Yeah, I was just echo that. My last year as assistant principal, I'm K-5 school, and it was a 9th through 12th grade campus across the street. And it was a day after Valentine's Day. We had to go on lockdown for 4 hours because a boy brought a loaded gun to school, And the same exact reason, his girlfriend had broke up with him the day before, it was with a different boy, and he took the gun into the lunchroom for that same purpose. And so the reason behind it is like his anger and that wrath that's so ungodly, it can lead to so much violence and destruction. And you think you just pursuing a person or pursuing your flesh or liking that person is just going to be a simple thing. The enemy is a liar, and he's deceiving us into thinking that that's what we need to pursue, and it's really not. So to echo that, that's something that you're getting yourself into a whole slew of trouble if you're not following and pursuing his way of doing things.
Amen. Let's hear from my guy right here.
Okay. Oops. Hi. So I think, me personally, I always forget that you should always have the mindset of dating to marry. And I feel like everybody forgets it all the time because it's always just like, oh, I'm having fun in the moment. And then in the moment, at the same time, they could be being the best person for you. In like 2 weeks, they could hurt you the same way that they thought that they would be a good person. So also, if they aren't bringing you closer to God and you see that they're trying to be with you, go to Bible study with you, do all this, and they genuinely like you, it's not right. And I forget that all the time. My mom always reminds me, and I never listen, but I realize now that that's not a good thing, and yeah.
There you go. We get from one, let's hear from one more. We're going to wrap it up, y'all.
So.
You said what?
That okay? Is it okay to go? Okay. I was going to say, over the panel, like you all said, it's good to date in your 20s. I can echo that because me and my husband dated when we were 19, but we didn't get married till we were 24. And I promise you all, even though we were long distance, our story is different, very and unique. But one thing that I definitely asked the Lord when he was pursuing me was that he would pursue him. I said, God, as we pursue each other, we want to pursue you, keep our eyes locked on you. And I promise you all, he shows you more of you all as you're bringing another person to him. And he will tell you, I promise you, because he's not a God that he should lie. He knows the plans that he has for each and every one of you. And he definitely will tell you yes or no. Because best believe, me and my husband have prayed for each other for the past 5 years. People thought we were crazy. Even our families was like, wow. Like, they honored us for it. And, you know, they respected us for it. But I always told God, I want my husband to respect you first. Because if he respects you, he's going to respect me. And that's all I have between me and my husband is love and respect. And it's both ways. It's not just him giving it to me. I give it to him because he's the head of my house, our household. So I just want to encourage you all that if you really pursue God, he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not leading, he's not taking anything that he doesn't want you to have. And he will show you the right man or woman. I promise you all he will do that because we're living testimonies of it. And the other blessing is that, you know, we have our first child. So I'm super excited about that.
Man, Henry, can we get this adult after him? Because y'all adults want to talk today. I don't know what's going on.
Praise God. Praise God.
I'm going to be real quick because I know somebody else is speaking. All I was going to say is y'all listen to your parents. To these adults that are around you, I know when you're young, you think, oh, I just want to have fun. I hear what they're saying, but we're trying to live our lives. Making that mistake, it might cause some other things to come that you don't want. So, and I know sometimes you listen to your friends, you have that one friend or two friends that you say, they really know what they're talking about. I'm here to tell you they don't. They just don't. We think we know everything at that age, and we forget that these older people have walked this life before we have. So everything that we've thought about doing, everything we wanted to do, they did too. So just listen to your parents, listen to your teachers, and always have some good people like the leaders that you have here around you, because they're going to put you in that right direction. And then as far as for your friend, that young lady, we need to have her here next Sunday on this altar. Lord Jesus.
I guess my last one, I'll shut up if it is. But like, no shade to the guys, but like girls, I feel like we're like, oh, but like, you know, he's cute, or oh, like, you know, I want to talk to him, or I think he'll act right. If you've ever heard a group of boys talk about a girl before, I promise you that'll change your mindset so fast. And like, I think that we like, or girls like to be all like, oh, like, you know, like all lovey and like roses and stuff. But for a lot of time, I won't generalize, but a lot of times, like with guys, like it's not all roses to them. And like, I think that a lot of times, once you realize that, it'll change the way that you handle guys.
Praise God. So, y'all.
And I just want to add, from the last time too. Individuals, please understand that you are worth it. You are worth the wait.
Amen.
you don't have to get into things that you shouldn't be into in the first place. Like, you're valuable. Like, regardless what your friends say, regardless what they do, regardless what they get into, you are worth it. If nobody else told you that, I promise you, I want to tell you that. And you don't have to be peer pressured into anything that you shouldn't be into in the first place. Cause like we've been saying, like I've been telling you guys and trying to reiterate, like legit, the choice is for sure yours. It really is yours. It's the only thing you own in this world. But the consequence, man, like if you make the wrong choice, it can literally cost everything. Look at these football players, look at basketball players, look at individuals that you look up to, these celebrities. You see they got the money and all that, but they make dumb choices. And then next thing you know, they're in situations that are derailing their whole careers. All because they made one dumb choice. So please just be mindful. Be cognizant of what you're about to get yourself into. Know that you are worth it. You are worth the wait. Your wife, for the fellas, deserve to have all of you. Ladies, you know, your husband deserves to have all of you. So trust that and believe God, that believe the God that you serve, the God that that looks down from heaven, that loves you, will bring what he has for you when you are ready for it and when you are responsible for it and when you have been diligent in what you what he has called you to do. So just trust him, trust his timing, and trust his purpose for your life, because I promise he will not let you down.
Amen. Can I add one last thing? This is for, we're dragging this out very long, I'm sorry, but one more thing to add. This is for everyone in here. Like, God loves you, loves all of you. So there isn't in this world a love we need to seek, but a love we need to accept. We are all loved no matter if we're in a relationship or we're not, because God loves us, and that's all that matters. Not a she likes me back or he likes me back. No, God loves me, and I am worthy of that love, and that is all that matters.
Hey, praise God. Praise God. So did y'all have a good time today? Okay, praise God. So I'm going to just wrap it up, and then we're going to pray. But because of Jesus, y'all, because of the gospel, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, we can have a gospel-centered life. We have the privilege and honor to serve, but not only just serve, but be happy to serve. So we just want to encourage you guys, if you've said yes to Jesus, then be responsible with the purpose that God has given you. Be responsible with the finances he's blessed you with, and be responsible with the relationships that he has for you to steward. You got the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in you, is in us. So praise God, praise God. So I'm a pray us out, and we'll go from there, praise God. Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us just to have a conversation about you, conversation about your word, a conversation about real life and practical things. God, we pray for our youth, our young adults, our kingdom servants, our visitors and guests, that you would help us leave this place looking just to live a life that glorifies you. God, would you touch our hearts, help us be happy to serve, to look for opportunities to serve others. Would you help us, God, be empowered by your spirit to be responsible and faithful over all the things that you have given to us. And God, in your time, and we know that you will bless us with more. So God, we thank you, we praise you, we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, that was some good word right there.
For real. I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life, and we want to encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, there were so many gems in that message. So take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it into your life this week.
Justice, can you pray for us?
Yes. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing us all here today to receive this amazing message. I pray that we apply it in our lives throughout this week and share it with others. Dear Lord Jesus, if we go through any trials and tribulations this week, I pray that we give it all to you and that you order our footsteps and walk with us, dear Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you log on next week at 11 a.m. Central.
We can't wait to see you next time. Till then, have a great week.
God bless.
Bye.